Everybody, you probably might be wondering why I'm here, as I am a little bit, but my talk is a preceptor for what our next speaker is going to be talking about, because she, Lisa, is dealing with the same epidemic. So I think it's no secret that the South has problems with syphilis being endemic, and I think we all know that syphilis and HIV are bad epidemics that have been going on among MSM, and now for us in the young African Americans, it's been going on for the better part of a decade. So what I looked at is I didn't come up with this title for the grant. But it sure was catchy. The nexus of drugs, sex, networks, HIV, and syphilis in young African-American MSM. And the grant was basically to abstract DIS charts to construct sociometric sexual networks to fulfill the following aims. And this is just a short version. So the main thing was to describe and compare the syphilis and HIV sexual networks for these MSM, and then evaluate the extent to which there were co-infected cases who linked these two networks together. And the third one was about drug use, which I'm not going to talk about. In the meantime, between when I got the funding came through in Forsyth County, North Carolina, which is right there, there was an outbreak of syphilis. And so between 2008 in 2009, the number of cases quadrupled in this area, and incidents also quadrupled. And if you think about DIS and their workload, they went from about 50 cases to about 200 cases in this one place. So that's a lot of work. So the state said, can you look into this? And we said, of course, you are giving us access to the data. We will do what you need. So we added another aim, and it was basically to look at, they were thinking that the men who have sex with men and women were bridging these two outbreaks and thereby exacerbating syphilis in the heterosexuals. So we expanded our eligibility of the cases that we abstracted. So we looked at Forsyth County residents who were diagnosed between 2006 and 2009 with early stages of syphilis, who were at least 14 years old. And then to do our aims, we looked at African-American men also diagnosed with, well, who were diagnosed with HIV and were male and were 14 to 30. And they could have been diagnosed with syphilis as well. Okay, so we manually abstracted the records of the index cases, and we also looked at their sex partners and their social partners. And I highlighted that here because a lot of states, I think, don't follow up with these social partners. And it can lead to other cases, even if people say, oh, I didn't have sex with that person, but I party with him all the time. So, and then we followed up with looking at all of their other partners, if they had older partners, whatever. And then we also were able to read through these records and document the risk characteristics from the narratives that aren't necessarily tracked electronically in at least the old-fashioned STD-MIS system. So here's what we found. And if you think about this long enough, you'll see that it's about half and half with the syphilis epidemic of being heterosexual and homosexual, meaning MSM and MSMW. So there weren't that many MSMW, but basically a third of the people were female, a third were heterosexual men, and then the remainder were MSM. And these things at the bottom basically are some people, MSM, like went to the prom when they were in high school and then realized that they were MSM, and then some of the others went the other direction, joined the different team. And we had one transgender. Okay, so here's what we found for the MSM and MSMW. Basically, Not that many of them, well, about a third of them had only syphilis. A third of them or so had HIV, and another, 31%, 37% were co-infected with HIV and syphilis. So that's a lot, thereby amplifying the outbreak of both of these things, as most of you would know, I hope. Okay. So a few of the characteristics here, comparing the syphilis-only diagnosis, the HIV-only, and the co-infected guys, they were basically worse off. There was more illicit drug use documented, and it was basically smoking marijuana. They smoked pot. They didn't use Viagra and crystal meth, which is documented, I guess, in the white populations. And the other thing I wanted to highlight here is they were more likely to have gone online to find sex partners. And I know we've talked about that in this conference elsewhere, and Lisa's going to talk about that too. They have more anonymous partners. They went out of state. There's like sex parties in Florida you can go to, I've learned. And so they had more access to partners and just did more stuff. Okay. For those of you who were young and born after 1980, you'll have to ask your parents. But what this is I call the Pac-Man phenomenon. So for the heterosexuals, the MSMW, and the women, it was predominantly syphilis. There was very little HIV, and very little co-infection in Forsyth County. So was there this bridging going on or not? Well, let's see. Okay, so here's the largest sexual component, and it involved 261 nodes, and I'll just go through this a little bit slowly. The shapes are what the people were by their gender and sex. So the diamonds are MSM, the squares are MSMW, heterosexual men, the circles are the MSMW, I might just say bisexual men. the women are triangles, just think like restroom signs. And then the upside down triangles are male partners, and their activity technically wasn't known, although most of them were like MSM, and then if you look at heterosexuals, most of them were heterosexuals. But my data manager was very precise. So then the colors indicate the disease status. So if you think of the red ribbon, that was HIV. If you think of blue, that was syphilis. You mix red and blue together, you get purple, and that's co-infection. And this was people who were co-infected or diagnosed within 6 months of their HIV diagnosis. The black color is, in North Carolina, we're concerned about people who get STDs long after they have their HIV infection because they're particularly high risk. So these guys are anyone who were HIV infected and then got a syphilis diagnosis at least 6 months later. The green are the people who received prophylactic treatment or were uninfected. And then the gray ones are the people we don't know anything about. Couldn't find them. They met them online, whatever. So, and then we have sexual and social relationships documented here. So, if you stare at this as long as I have, which you don't have that pleasure, there isn't really syphilis networks, HIV networks that are separate, and then co-infection. It's just everywhere. So, do we have a pointer? No. Oh, okay. I think. Okay, so down here there's a lot of trouble going on. There's a lot of like co-infection, repeat syphilis infections, and it's a problem. Here we have some HIV only, but here there's some syphilis only, but there aren't really distinct networks. But what about the MSMW? So I'll just highlight them here. And there's a lot of dead ends with the women. We don't know much about them. And even if we did, I wouldn't say there's compelling evidence that there's this bridging going on. Furthermore, if we look at the largest... If you look at the largest component for heterosexuals, there's no HIV in there whatsoever. It's all syphilis, and it's all triangles and squares. Heterosexuals. And then if you color code it by transactional sex, it's transactional sex. And this one, I think, is transactional sex, but again, my data manager was very precise and didn't want to code it that way and make a leap. Here's some other heterosexual components. There's a little bit of co-infection, but it's predominantly syphilis. And here's some more that is a mix of everything. And the MSM components have HIV in them, in co-infection, and there's just not a lot of bridging, I think. In fact, I really hate that term. So in conclusion, I would say that Forsyth County experienced distinct outbreaks simultaneously that weren't necessarily seen through the surveillance. The heterosexual was predominantly syphilis. It was linked to transactional sex, cocaine, crack. The young MSM and MSW were syphilis, HIV, and co-infection, linked to internet use and being in college. So the MSMW did not seem to bridge these two communities. There's too few partnerships. There wasn't enough co-infection. And personally, I think, like, we need to get away from this thinking it's kind of demonizing to these young men. So I need to acknowledge my coworkers, colleagues, and thanks. Time for questions or any questions?
Hi, that was really interesting and great to see those diagrams up there. And I wish we did have more time to pore over them. So just to reduce it to numbers, because I was really trying to take it in, but it was hard because of the size. Among women with PNS syphilis, how many of them had partners who were MSMW? And how many of them were just partners or had only heterosexual partnerships? Do you know?
Well, with the cases for women where it's documented, I don't think any of them had MSMW partners that we were able to document. It was more the other way around. We would find the men who had sex with men, and then in their records they would name some women partners, and for the most part we couldn't really find them, or they were uninfected.
So that itself is sort of, I mean, in terms of like, but when you're studying the chronology of this notion of bridging, I mean, this is sort of not quite cross-sectional, but I wonder if this would be studied over time. There was a point where...
That's the next step. That's the next grant I have to write after I publish this, to look at temporality, time.
One more question. Bolin, Los Angeles. Maybe this is kind of following on what the previous... person was just asking, but you know, these are really complex kinds of situations here, and if each of these connections is only, you know, one point in time, and you have to account for incubation periods and, you know, time to convert, you know, like for HIV to convert to a positive test. And then you factor into that the number of times or the frequency that one partner has sex with another one in their cluster. You know, I mean, really, the only way to, this is really difficult to talk about, but the only way to really, you know, kind of make sense of this is to follow one of these networks longitudinally, if you can get people to, you know, sit still long enough and come back, frequently enough to be tested continuously.
Yes. Well, this was abstracting records retrospectively, so that's a limitation, which I didn't put that slide up. And we also collected the data on what the DIS recorded for how much sex they were. So if it was less than 10 occasions, we have that. And again, that's for the next grant, which I hope I might get funded someday. Everybody pray that I have the time to write it and then do it. And then some were like, they would say off and on, or some were steady and some weren't. And so that's the next piece that we need to factor into the equation. But the data is messy and it's hard to do.